morning, everyone. Thank you all for being here. We have a lot of visitors today and really grateful for that. Had a great night last night worshiping the Lord in the singing that we had last night. And I think my voice is a little tired this morning. So I'm going to be hydrating quite a bit in the course of the day. Also, to our members, just a reminder that this is the change of the new quarter. So if you will be attending on Wednesday night Bible class, the study will be the parables of Jesus. There are workbooks in the foyer on the member table for you to pick up, as well as some extra ones up here at the front for our Wednesday night study. And if you did not get the Daniel book for our Sunday morning study, that is also in the foyer. The promises that God made were often couched in prophecy. And what that also created was this intriguing mystery about what it was that God was doing. And as the ancient world continued to hear the spatterings of prophets verbally hearing and announcing the promised one, sometimes centuries between announcements, we have some understanding then that while God was bringing to man, who we will understand today as the Lion of Judah, man was reveling in his darkness. And as humanity to continue to experience that, as was noted even around the communion table this morning, we got a real true taste of how well we do making our life work. But God had a purpose, something he was trying to accomplish to bring his people to a place with his son. And this morning, the lesson, the Lion of Judah, is taken from only two passages of Scripture. Two passages that forecast the significance of that title, and another one that explains the significance of that title. So the first one I want you to turn to is in the book of Genesis, chapter 49. So when we come to the reading, it's always important to get some perception of what's going on in your text. And what the book of Genesis is, the book of beginnings, introduces to the Jewish nation their beginnings that began in humanity's beginnings, but with an intentional focus upon how God was going to accomplish through the descendant of Abraham a wonderful and significant seed who would give blessing to all. Jacob is with his family now in Egypt when we come in Genesis chapter 49. Of course, they've gotten there because previously, Jacob, when he had all of his sons, one special son, Joseph, who God had sent visions to when he was young, and probably he himself manifested a spirit that caused his brothers to not like him a lot. And his brothers ended up selling him into slavery. And he's carried down to Egypt. And there in Egypt, while he serves his life to live for God, separated from his family, unknown in his heart what's really happened to him. But then when God gives the revelations to Joseph that what God is going to accomplish through Pharaoh, in time, his brothers returned to Egypt to gather grain during the plague of famine. Joseph reveals himself His brothers tell his father, Joseph is alive, and they find themselves back in Egypt at Joseph's invitation to take care of the ones who had abandoned him. There are layers upon layers as we look through Scripture, how God is showing us the redemptive pattern of people who are godly. So when you come to the chapter 49, it is Jacob's moment to announce how God's blessing will finally continue through the line of Abraham. And beginning in verse 2, the text says, "Come together and listen, sons of Jacob, listen to your father Israel. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength and the firstfruits of my virility, excelling in prominence, excelling in power. Turbulent as water, you will not excel. Because you got into your father's bed and you defiled it." He got into my bed. "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their knives are vicious weapons. May I never enter their council. May I never join their assembly. For in their anger they kill men, and on a whim they hamstring oxen. Their anger is cursed, for it is strong, and their fury, for it is cruel. I will disperse them throughout Jacob and scatter them throughout Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. Judah is a young lion. My son, you return from the kill. He crouches. He lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes, and the obedience of the peoples belongs to him. He ties his donkey to a vine, and the colt of his donkey to the choice vine. He washes his clothes in wine, and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk." And then he speaks to Zebulun, verse 13, verse 14 to Issachar, verse 16 to Dan, and then continues on through Gad, Asher, and Naphtali, and then talks to Joseph and Benjamin. Now, I could read all of it, but that's not the focus of the lesson today. But I want you to notice that Jacob articulates the processes by which he went through to make his choice. And I'm fine with acknowledging that the reason the choice is made is because God in his providence rules. But notice, he doesn't choose Reuben. And he tells Reuben actually pretty precisely why. He got into my bed. Then he talks about Simeon and Levi. And then he talks to Simeon and Levi, and he talks about how vicious they are, how full of anger they are, that they manifest their anger in violent behavior. Their anger, he says, are cursed, and they hamstring oxen. They kill men in their anger. So Simeon and Levi will not receive the blessing. And then he turns to Judah. And then he says, "Your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you." If you know Old Testament history, you'll know that Judah is no great man either. And so while it is from the mouth of Jacob, a censure against Reuben because of his misdeeds, and while it is Simeon and Levi who likewise are not given the blessing because of their misdeeds and their exploitation of women, both are guilty of sexual crime, so too is Jacob. He gravely mistreated his daughter-in-law Tamar and was known to visit prostitutes in town. But perhaps the choice, driven by the providence of God, draws us to see why it will be that Judah, verse 9, will be the young lion. Now he describes him in man's terms. He says, my son, you return from the kill. He crouches, he lies down with like a lion or a lioness. Who would ever dare to rouse him? And maybe he sees in Judah's behavior the strongness of a man. You go on and you look at how many of these things play out, Numbers chapter 23 and 24, it will be Balaam who will say, look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts themselves up like a lion. They will not lie down until they devour the prey. Then notice, moving further on through Numbers chapter 24, verse 9, describing Israel, he bows down, he lies down like in Israel, but the preeminence of Judah is evident throughout their wilderness wandering. In fact, in Judges chapter 1, verse 2, after they arrive into the land, God tells them to follow Judah. Judah will go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. Judah will become, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, will become as strong as a lion. So God is, century after century after century, telling us about the Lion of Judah and what he looks like. But yet that's the struggle that we look through when we see these prophecies, ultimately see them fulfilled, is that the aspect sometimes that we couch our interpretation upon comes from the visuals of what perhaps our own experience is, help us see about the young lion. Certainly a young lion is caricatured with great strength. The regality of a lion is something that he is growing and learning on. So too the tribe of Judah was doing the same thing. And the perfect king of Judah who would be described by himself in 1 Samuel 17 verse 36 that he had courage like a lion when he himself defeated and killed lions. Judah was becoming what God wanted his people to be. So as we look at these passages, I want you to think through the significance of what that might mean. Because no man will ever live to the standard, perhaps even of what you and I would demand of them, let alone what God would ultimately demand. But I want you to notice one more point about all of this, is that when you see Judah as he is, a young lion, my son, returning from the kill. Verse 10 says, the scepter will not depart from Judah. The signal that the Lion of Judah is someone who will be the king. And it is that truth that sees itself unfold again and again within the history of Israel, because it will be through the tribe of Judah that kings will be chosen from the line of David, and then ultimately the one who would be the true Lion of Judah. But why do you think it could have been Jacob chose him? I realize what Jacob says. And probably in truth, Jacob chooses him because of what he says. But the difference in Judah with his three older brothers who equally were guilty of sexual crime was it was Judah who influenced his brothers not to kill Joseph. He has something within him in his heart as an intercessory truth that he loves humanity so much, even his brother, that he will not let his brothers kill him. He persuaded his own father. When Benjamin needed to go to Egypt, and when his father would not want Benjamin, the younger brother of Joseph, to go, because if Benjamin went and Benjamin was lost, he would lose his heart. Judah said, his life is on me. And even when Judah stands there before Joseph and continues to intercede on Benjamin's behalf, he showed such an unselfishness that was not marked throughout his life, don't get me wrong, any more than Don Hooten has unselfishness all throughout his life. But in the moment that made him so different than his older brothers, the Lion of Judah becomes like the Lion of Judah. Because I want you to notice how in the book of Revelation that truth is unveiled. Look with me in Revelation chapter 5. The pictures in the book of Revelation are showing the darkness of the world and how it is that the light will overcome. The promise is made by God, I am. I am the first and the last. I reign in the kingdoms of men. In Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, John says, I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look in it. And so John says, I wept and wept. Because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it. Then one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. That in the vision of John, what he sees and hears is the voice of an elder telling him, stop being dismayed. The Lion of Judah has been victorious, past tense, and he is able to open those seals. Someone able to open the seals that no one in heaven, no one under the earth, and no one on earth was good enough to be so called to do that grand and glorious work that the humanity that all of us belong to so desperately needed. So it says in verse 8, so then he took the scroll. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Notice in the vision that John sees the transformation of what happens in the vision is what happens in history. That for the one that he would truly be the Lion of Judah, he would become a lion because he would be a lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, with prayers of the saints, and they sang this new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered, and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and nation and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands, plus thousands of thousands. And they said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. I want you to notice that in the announcement that's made by every creature in heaven, every creature on earth, every creature under the earth, every creature on the sea, and everything in them say. No, this is not a point in history moment. This is a point in vision moment, where God shows to John why it is God can accomplish his purpose. It's because God has a lion who will be a lamb. In a similar way, like in the moment of Judah, to influence his brothers not to take life, because life was from God. The intercessory way with which he interceded on behalf of Benjamin to plead and to take upon himself the guilt for if anything went wrong. Notice how John sees the vision. The elders say, "The Lion of Judah is able." And the reason that he's able is he's a lamb. God turns everything upside down. It isn't that the Lion of Judah is a masterful warrior, pecs bursting out of his shirt, hair going through. Sorry, that was just a bad image. Sorry. He became the lion because he was the lamb. And he was worthy to take the scroll because he was slaughtered. He was worthy to take the scroll because he was willing to purchase people. And he was willing to purchase people with his own blood. The intercessory truth of what makes him the lion is because the lion would become the lamb. So I want you to look in some New Testament passages with me. The first one we're going to turn to, the book of Philippians. Perhaps you're familiar with it, but beginning in chapter 2, he tells us that if there's any encouragement that's in Christ, any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, make the joy that he has complete by having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And he'll say in verse 5, have this attitude which was that in Christ, who existing in the form of God did not consider himself equal with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You know, the statement that's made by Jacob about Judah. He says, your brothers are going to praise you. And maybe Judah in that moment thought, oh yeah, they're going to praise me because I'm going to be king. But ultimately what's going to happen is when Judah matures into the Lion of Judah, that is the descendant who would become worthy to open the seals, that descendant will be the lion because he's willing to be the lamb. That should teach you and I an awful lot about what it means to be strong. What Jesus' strength was, as we sang, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord that was set before the Christ in Hebrews chapter 12 is that he died and experienced the harshness of the human world surrounding and suffocating upon him by his own volition, the condemnation of death, so that he could give you life. The Lion of Judah becomes the lion because he will be the lamb. Look at another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul's answering questions, he says, about resurrection. Chapter 15, verse 1. And we're going to start reading, if you don't mind, in verse 20. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ will all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death, for God has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says everything is put under feet, it is obvious that he puts everything under him as the exception. But when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will be subject to the one who is subjected to everything to him, so that God will be all in all. Paul says to the church at Corinth, answering the question about resurrection, why do some of you even say these things that you do? That there is no resurrection. But notice he says there is a pattern, there is an order beginning in verse 23, so that in verse 25, he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. You remember the promise Jacob made to Judah? Your foot will be on the neck of your enemies. And again, if Judah heard that, bursting out, muscles of his brain shooting through, I'm going to be someone to be reckoned with, if that's what he thought. The point is that Paul says, the true Lion of Judah, who became the lion by becoming the lamb, would put his foot on the ultimate enemy of all for you. That he would put an end to death and its power over your life. Because the Lion of Judah would become the lion because he becomes the lamb. So what does all of that mean? If God could speak a prophecy through Jacob to Judah, And through century upon century, in the shroud of prophetic pictures of what this coming one would ultimately do, when you and I hear the truth of the gospel, that lion became a lamb. Quit trying to live your life like the world's view of a lion. And live your life like your Savior. Because he became the Lion of Judah by becoming the Lamb who took away the sins of the world.